Well, this morning I have the pleasure of inviting our guests this morning. I know this is kind of a spur of the moment. We're going to do an Africa trip report, but we felt this is really important because these two gentlemen happen to be in town. Paul Martini, his sidekick, Bo. absolutely incredible men. Both Carrie and I felt that they were to speak this morning, and they'll share a little bit about what they're doing here. But let me just give a brief little overview. Paul was here at a conference and ministering, and when he got done ministering, he felt like he saw the BC Coliseum and felt like, I wonder what it would cost to rent that. He went in and found out, and the Lord began to open up some doors to him, and God began to tell him that he wanted to do an outreach here, an evangelistic outreach in Beasley Coliseum. Now, we've been praying for things like this to happen, that we fill up that Coliseum with people who are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has put something in the heart of Paul. Paul's from Pennsylvania. He's an Amish country. He doesn't even have electricity in his home, all right? He doesn't. No, I'm just teasing. He has to because he has to shave his head, so. Their heart, though, was to do something on this campus, and he has no vested interest here other than he's kingdom-minded. He wants to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And we've been praying for this for a long, 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 long time. And God has brought a man here that is willing to do this and put it on. He says, at no expense, he'll figure it out how it's going to work. We're figuring out how it's going to happen. We brought all the pastors together, and it's been amazing. There's no one church doing this, so it's somebody from Pennsylvania putting all this together, and it's really rallying the churches. And it's rallying people who are excited about seeing our city, our region saved, seeing it transformed, seeing the spiritual climate change. Because there's a buzz about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ will do. Well, I'll let him explain to you the people that he's invited to bring in that. But would you please give a round of applause for Paul and Bo as they come on up. Come on up, you guys. Now, let me just say, when I went to the meeting the very first time, I went to it and they were say, hey, you go to this meeting, there's a guy who wants to do something here and he wants to fill a Coliseum. And I'm going, okay, great, great, been there, done that. So I go to the meeting, and Carrie tells me ahead of time, she goes, listen, when you go to this meeting, don't go with any preconceived ideas because I think the Lord wants to do something. Wow. And then when I went to the meeting and I heard Paul speak, man, I saw the humility of his heart and I said, oh man, there's a guy of kindred spirit. And I just grabbed onto that. And I felt like the Lord just connected us together of kindred and like spirit. He's an amazing man with a humble heart. So is Bo. And let me tell you a little bit about Bo. Bo worked in the Obama White House. This guy has played one-on-one with President Obama. Did you let him win or did you go ahead and just beat him? You give him the first three. He's so funny. He's going, he gets going. And President Obama, he's a smack talker, he said. He's a smack talker. He just talked down at you. Anyway, he's done amazing things, and I'll let him explain that as well. But we have some pictures here. Here they are in the White House together. He got them into the White House, into the Oval Office. This is, go back. Okay, there they are together. This is Bo and his family. His mama. His mama is a mama, man. I'll tell you what. She watched over her kids. He was not allowed to get anything less than an A in school. Nothing less than an A. And I'm serious. He was playing. You know, he's a basketball player. He's an amazing basketball player. So they're in the semifinals? They're in the semifinals. He got a B+ on one of his exams. His mama said, you know the rules. And he could not play. So they helped him retake the test. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. He is so smart. He's very humble. He's very wise. He's very intellectual. And he's got amazing insight. And he has amazing contacts all over for a lot of the people that we're trying to connect with to make this whole event happen. But I just want you to welcome them. I yield this platform to two wow. very, very special men of God that I pray the Lord keeps a long and lasting relationship with. So please give up one more time for these guys, would you?
Thank you. That's awesome. So excited to be here. It's just incredible journey that we've been on, and I'm really loving the Palouse. I was here end of January, beginning of February. Whole different story. So I came back, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is beautiful. Love the weather. No humidity right now. It's amazing. So I'm just so honored to know you, Pastor Phil and Pastor Carrie. And just thank you so much for your hospitality and for welcoming us here and being so supportive, Pastor Tom and Pastor Joe and all the other pastors that are involved, and even the McCoys and the Ledfords who've hosted us so well. Just so much. Thank you so much. Just to tell you how the story happened, while we were at that conference, friends of mine and I wanted to go see WSU. And so we drove onto campus, and immediately once we entered into campus, one of my friends, he said, you know, I feel a spirit of suicide on the campus. And he's a positive guy. He's not a negative guy. He's not like always feeling negative. And I said, yeah, I feel a hopelessness as soon as we kind of entered on. And we didn't know what that was. Another friend of mine said, hey, let's go to the bookstore, check it out, because that's where people are. And while we're there, we see a young man outside the bathrooms. He was actually crying. And my one friend who sensed the spirit of suicide was talking to him. And we got to pray for him, because he was crying because there was a young man who had committed suicide that weekend from Rite Aid. He worked at Rite Aid on campus. And it triggered the emotion of his uncle who had committed suicide recently. And so we prayed with him. And then when we were leaving, I felt this urgency, this sense of the Holy Spirit, and I've done nothing like this before. And I point to the Colosseum and I say, I wonder what it would be, what it would cost to rent something like that. And we get back to where we're staying, and I look at the college schedule, and I look that the first Friday, there's no football game, there's no basketball game, and all the students are in session. And I said, I wonder if that Colosseum is available that day. Now, mind you, I have no budget. I have no money. I'm just trying to be obedient to what the Lord's doing. So I don't have any contacts with WSU. I don't know any employees or anything like that. So I go on the website and I find the events director and I call him and leave a voicemail. I mean, the coldest call you could ever make. And he calls back, and he's on the conference call with some staff, and he starts asking me questions. What kind of organization are you? Is this a political organization? Are there going to be protesters there? I said, I hope not, you know, like, because there was a lot of rallies going and issues with other colleges. And so I said, look, we're a Christian organization. I said, but we want to, and I started, see, I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do, but I started having these faith statements come out of my mouth. And so I started saying, well, we want to, you know, bring famous athletes, actors, musicians, artists who can come and share their story, who are Christian, and then at the end, bring the gospel message. And he said, wow. I said, well, I just wanted to know, is it even available? You know, usually when you plan for something on such a large scale, you need to plan one year at least out. And we're now months away. And he said, you know, it's funny. He said the Colosseum's booked before those days and after that date, but that one Friday night, that Friday night's open. Doesn't conflict with anything else that's going on in the city or anything. I said, wow. I said, well, how much would it cost? Now, I don't do this personally, but my friends do larger events, and they've done stadiums, and just the stadium alone should cost, you know, $80,000 just to rent the facility. And he said, can I sell food there? I said, you can sell as much food as you want. He said, are you going to be charging tickets? Because then, you know, they would get a percentage. I said, no, there's no, it's going to be absolutely free. He said, wow. He said, I like what you're doing. And then I hear him lean back on his chair, you know, like, you know what I mean? And He says, I think we could get this for you for about $7,000. I almost fell out of my chair. And then I had another problem. I said, can you hold it for 2 weeks? Because I don't know any athletes, musicians, artists. I don't know anybody. I can get famous ministers there, but, you know, I want to fill it with lost people. I don't want to fill it with Christians. Right? And so I just said, can you hold it for 2 weeks? Because I need to check with my contacts. Yeah. And so I call a friend who I had just met who was the chaplain for the NBA All-Star team last year. And I told him what had happened. And he had gotten so much, he was so excited. He doesn't even know you guys. He was just so excited. He said, this has to be God. He says, let me see what I can do. A few minutes later, he texts me. He says, I have Sean Alexander on the phone from the Seattle Seahawks. He wants to know what you want him to do. I said, you know, I start these faith statements again. Well, we're going to have actors, musicians, artists. They're all going to share their story. And, you know, and then we're going to have an altar call at the end. And then 20 minutes later, he texts me back. He says, Sean Alexander's in. And then we had an assistant coach from the Supersonics, a previous team you guys had, and he heard about it, and so he says, hey, Antoine Randall L. used to be a receiver for Pittsburgh Steelers. He wants to come. He's a magnificent Christian. He wants to share a story. And I said, wow. And then we had musicians who are really who are Christian, but are in the secular market. See, we want people who are influencing the mountains of athletes and entertainment that can testify. See, when people hear the testimony of Jesus, it prophesies to them. Amen. That what happened in that person's life could happen in their own life. Amen. So it's really imperative that we don't just get people who are famous Christians in church, but famous Christians in the entertainment industry as well. And so we are now speaking with and then we get a phone call that we got Clay Thompson's mobile number, who used to play at WSU. And we call Clay, and he wants to come. He said he wants to bring his pastor because, you know, just because you're a great athlete doesn't mean you're an amazing speaker, you know. And so, but he wants to share what God's been doing in his life. And now we're in the talks with Stephen Curry, who wants to come, who we're trying to confirm. And then I'm like, wow, this is way bigger than me. I'm not even planning on speaking. This is just a deposit that I wanted. And I realized that we are just working with all the prayers and the pressing in of the generations before us. And so we send invitations out to just a luncheon. Nobody really knows me. And so we send invitations out. And we our first time, we had about 16 pastors and church leaders show up to a luncheon. The luncheon we just had this past week, 28 or so pastors and leaders had shown up supporting this event. And what's that? And businessmen. And we had businessmen supporting this event because even though we're getting the Coliseum so affordably, the lights, the sound, all the meals, all the hotels, the air costs. Because I told these athletes, I said, I have no money. I can't pay you anything. And they said, look, it's free. It's for the gospel. Just pay for our hotel and our airfare, and we'll cover everything else. And so this is just an amazing opportunity that God's given us. So anyway, I met Bo in October or September, and he had come to one of my conferences and introduced me to him and to introduce himself to me. And then he asked me to come to the White House. I said, huh? And he said, I work for the White House. And so he gave me a personal tour, and I saw the East Wing and the West Wing. And then he came up at Good Friday, had heard what was happening, and he said, I want to dedicate my time to this area. He doesn't even know you guys yet until this week. He's fallen in love with the area and your people here, but he says, I want to invest. So Bo opens up his phone, starts calling all his connections, because he would be the public events person for the White House. So he's been talking with people like Chance the Rapper, who's a Christian, who might want to come, and other different athletes, musicians. So, Bo, if you want to just introduce yourself, yeah.
All right. So, yes. So, I came to Good Friday and talked to Paul, and Paul's like, you know, I just went up to Washington State, and I'm thinking, he's like, yeah, come with me to Washington State. I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to Seattle. All right, this is like, I've been there before. I've been and then Tom picks me up, you know, and I see he has an Idaho license plate, and I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong spot. Like, I don't know if this is it. And then he's like, you know, yeah, we're right next to Idaho. And lo and behold, I actually end up in Idaho. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, this is good. But my name is Bo Machayo. I think you guys saw my family up there. My mom's actually from Uganda, and my dad's from Kenya. So I was a first-generation African-American born in Maryland. Went to school at Wake Forest and didn't have any idea what I wanted to do when I graduated. I thought for a little bit that I was going to go and do Teach for America in San Diego. I was like, San Diego's going to be nice, 70 degrees, I'll have a great time. And then the Lord said, no, I don't think so. So I was like, okay. So I ended up going to Washington, D.C. We moved on a Saturday. I moved up on a Saturday with my mom. And, you know, she prays me into situations, she prays me out of situations, so I'm always like, all right. So my three younger siblings, they can't get up for church on Sunday, but my mom's like, all right, you got to come to church with me. So, you know, Lord puts the church on our heart, and walk into church, and I'm like, okay, this is a good sermon, I think I like this area, I still have no idea what I'm going to do, and I'm not really thinking about that, I'm just at church. And so we go up to the, you know, first time visitors spot and, you know, said hello to the people, to the greeters. The church was nice. They're like, oh, okay, that's nice. Are you in eighth grade? And I'm like, no, not in eighth grade. I just graduated college.
it's a good problem.
It's a good problem to have, I guess. Yeah. And ended up one of the greeters, was the outreach director for a congressman, Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia. And she said, oh, so what did you graduate in? I said, political science and economics. She's like, oh, okay, that's nice. How about you come to the Capitol, you know, on Tuesday and talk to the congressman? I'm like, all right, I have no idea who this congressman is. It's been 3 days since I've been there. And walk in, say hello to the congressman, have about a 45-minute chat with him, and he's like, how about you come work for me? And I was like, all right. All right. And so sat there, filled out the paperwork, and ended up being one of his foreign policy staffers. And it was really good to just kind of see how the Lord had ordered my steps. And from now on, I, you know, if I didn't listen to my mom before about getting all A's in high school, I definitely listen to her now. And so... Actually, that next week was the one of the government shutdowns, so I was like, okay, you know, God, all right, so you put me here, so you must have some plan for me. He actually ended up retiring, and then 6 months later, I actually ended up working for a senator from New York, Senator Gillibrand, handling her health, education, labor policy, and homeland security policy. Spent about 2 years from her. Then I get this call from an unknown number. And usually, if you get a call from another number, you don't want to pick it up. It's like a scam, it's like a spam, but something in my heart said, you know, pick it up. So I said, all right, pick it up. Hey, you know, this is the White House, and we'd like to come and ask you for an interview and see what you, you know, what jobs you want and what's available for you. And I'm like, the White House?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So, you know, I'm sitting around and, you know, I'm like, okay, I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, I think the White House just called me. They told me to, like, you know, type in something, my social security number. And you're like, oh, okay, I don't know about that, but it's good. And ended up spending the last 2.5 years doing some energy, environment, homeland security portfolio for them, even though I said I only knew about recycling. Somehow the Lord really put it on their heart to hire me. Went in, it was good. Lord has been good. He's really ordered my steps. And I am a living example of not only just God really ordaining your steps and just following them, and just heading in that direction and what he wants you to really do. So when this opportunity came up, I said, you know, Paul, all right, I will go. I ended up in, I love Pullman, I love Moscow. I love this region and this area, and God has really put it on my heart. And this morning, and this whole week, I've actually been reading Ephesians. So I came across Ephesians 2:19, which says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of God's kingdom and also of his household." And I really do believe that Hope Fest, you'll have people coming in who are foreigners and strangers to the region, who might not know who God is or what he's really doing. But consequently, after Hope Fest, after hearing people like Clay Thompson, Sean Alexander, Chance the Rapper, other musicians that will come, that they'll say, I have a greater citizenship that's better than, you know, my school in Washington State University or the University of Idaho, but my citizenship, or the citizenship of America. My citizenship is actually with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they'll give their lives to Christ. So we're really believing that. We're really going in on these prayers and, you know, just believing that the Lord is really going to do something and start something and be a catalyst, not only for these cities, but the region and the whole country. So thank you so much for hosting us. Thank you so much for being here with us, and happy to see all you guys a little later after the service.
Yeah. Love you, Bo. Thank you. It's incredible who God puts in your path. The event, we decided to call it Hope Fest because we believe that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And a lot of the college students have been talked out of hope. And so they can't even enter into faith. And so I figure if we can give them a testimony of Jesus that could stir hope in their hearts, they could launch into the decision of faith that they need to make. So after the event, we're going to do, we're big on discipleship. We want to hand off the baton in a responsible way. And so we're going to do an after party and actually on track and field, tunnel all those who get saved. And we're going to have all the campus ministries there and the churches that are represented to talk and to mingle with them as we have vendors and things of that nature. And then beforehand, your church has been so lovely. The pastors here have opened up for something called Rise, which will have training and activation on evangelism. And we want to send people out from this place during the week that will saturate the community and the campus for the gospel, where we can pray for people and love on people. And so that's the Rise event. If you are interested in that, you can check that out on the web. And so... So check that out. I wanted to share just a short message with you. I won't keep you too long. But before I do any of my messages, and I think, Pastor Phil, we have kindred hearts, and so you probably do this too, but I always like to start out with a little joke. Because sometimes, you know, I hear a pastor's message and the joke, and sometimes I like the joke more than the message. So maybe if you don't like my message, you'll like my joke. I don't know. We'll see. And I think this is really fitting for the men's retreat. You can gain some more wisdom here. A couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. Their domestic tranquility had been long the talk of the town. A local newspaper reporter was inquiring as to the secret of their long and happy marriage. "Well, it dates back to our honeymoon," explained the man. "We visited the Grand Canyon and took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon by pack mule. We hadn't gone too far when my wife's mule stumbled." My wife quietly said, "That's once." We proceeded a little further and the mule stumbled again. My wife quietly said, "That's twice." Hadn't gone half a mile when that mule stumbled a third time. My wife quietly removed a revolver from her pocket and shot that mule dead. I started to yell at her at the treatment of the mule, and she looked at me and said, "That's once." So if you go to that retreat, you will gain wisdom, such as this man. All right. I thought that was cute. All right. Oh, Holy Spirit, come back. No, I just got... God, we just thank you for what you're about to do. God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters that we can come together corporately and just honor who you are and lift up your name above every name. And Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to just impress upon our hearts what you want, God, and that you can give us the gifts, Lord, that you would help us draw closer to you and a gift of discernment, Lord, and a gift of knowledge and prophecy and healing even, Lord. And so, God, I just pray right now that this would be a time of refreshing and renewing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wanted to talk a little bit about, and this is really, really ties in with Hope Fest, because this message is really what I'm living through in my life currently. And so I always like to preach about what I'm actually going through. And I've been, I've had a lot of influence from all different leaders and pastors. And Landon Dorsch, one of my close friends and pastors, he actually even shared this revelation with me, and it's really helped me. You know, when it comes to the prophetic process, there's you need to gain understanding. How many know that the prophetic words over your life, or maybe over the region, or over this church, are great, and those promises are amazing? But I think that out of God's mercy, He shows us the promise before He shows us the process. Because if we would have known the process before the promise, we might not go for the promise. Come on. You know, where you get these prophetic words, you're going to change the nations, you're going to go from this place, you're going to, you know, your house is going to grow, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you're, you know, and you go, yes, God, yes, yes, that's it, yes. And, you know, you're singing all those worship songs that, you know, you would never pray if they were in a prayer, but because they're in music, you'll pray. You're like, mold me, crush me, pound me in the stone, you know, like, you know, the, you know, you don't realize what you're saying, you know, and you have these prophetic promises. I want to talk about the prophetic process with you because it's so key in understanding how to walk into that promise. See, process often goes hand in hand with waiting. It's almost like diet and exercise. You usually don't do one without the other. And so when we talk about the process, you need to understand waiting. Waiting is something that is not as much talked about, but is really key in timing with God. See, waiting isn't just for waiting unto itself, but there's something that's being built in the waiting. In a very popular verse, Isaiah 40:31, he says, "But those who wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Proverbs 8:34-35 says, "Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord." And so there's this time of waiting. Now, I love to practice the presence as I'm going throughout the day. I mean, that's something that's key when it comes to walking with the Lord. There's some times where we need to dedicate that time every day to the Lord. And then there's sometimes like me where I don't have that private prayer time that I can dedicate every day because I'm always traveling. So I made my airplanes prayer closets. You know, I practice the presence. I get into worship right there. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. But then there's times where God will draw me into a place of waiting. There's a season for it. And I remember getting, I'm standing in the back of a church in the beginning of November. And the Lord says, "Paul, I want you to fast." I said, "What?" Now, I love fasting. I'm not against fasting. I think fasting is crucial, but I have friends who fast like every Thursday, or they fast 40 days every year and do all these types of fasts. But for me, I'm scared to make it such a tradition that I tell the Lord, "When you want me to fast, call me to fast, I will fast." Now, I've learned something, that when the Lord tells you to do something, you should do it quickly. My wife, she's amazing, and she was doing something in the kitchen, and I was talking to my son, and I was telling my son, Giovanni, he's 13 years old, and I said, "Giovanni, I want you to take the trash out." And he was watching a program. He said, "Okay, Dad." I said, "No, Giovanni, I want you to take it out." He says, "You know, you try to give your kids responsibilities, you know what I mean?" He says, "Yeah, Dad, I'm going to get it." No, son, I want you to take the trash out." "Yeah." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to get it. Yep, I'm on my way," you know, my wife, so gracious, she stops what she's doing and she looks to my son and she says, "Giovanni, slow obedience is disobedience." And that struck me. There's something about quick obedience that releases the miracle, that releases the faith. And so whenever God calls me to something, even if I don't understand it, I say, "Yes, do it." So he said, "I want you to fast." I said, "Okay, when?" He said, November 30th to December 30th. I said, God, that's bad timing. That's not like the, that's like some of the best eating of the year. You don't fast those dates. You know, if you ask me when I want to fast, I would say January 2nd to February 2nd. I mean, that would be when I probably need a fast. So I did. I actually dedicated time during this fast to meet with the Lord an hour, 2 hours a day. And I would go and I would say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Speak. Your servant's listening. Silence. God, I'm here. What do you want? What do you want to say? What are you doing? Nothing. You know, just because the Lord isn't speaking doesn't mean he's not doing something. And see, when I was in those times of waiting, and can I show you what waiting looks like at this time? I mean, that's what it is. There's nothing glorious necessarily. It's a lot of quiet. See, but something was happening. The Lord was solidifying me. There was a trust being built. There was a depth that was being created. And I realized that God, and I'm going to do a play on words here, but God was helping me and preparing me for a moment in my life. You see, if you had asked me to lift 200 pounds right now, bench press it, I would not be able to do it, as strong as I look. I would not be able to do it. But if every few days, every day I trained, and I worked out a little bit more, a little bit more, eventually I would be able to bench press 200 pounds. And you see, there's seasons where the Lord will start putting you into weight training, where he's building you up so that you can carry a word that you have not been able to carry. And so I was weight training. And so the days I didn't hear the Lord, there was excitement building up in me because I knew that the next day I might be strong enough to carry the word he releases over my life. So there's this balance when you wait on the Lord. You know, waiting on the Lord and not hearing something doesn't mean that you're not going in the right direction. Sometimes, just like a quarterback throwing to a wide receiver, he has the ball. He wants you to have the ball. He's just not ready to release it because you're not in position yet. And he's just waiting for you to get into that position so that when he releases it, you can run it in the end zone. And so there's a purpose in the waiting. Don't get discouraged in the waiting. Get excited. And so this is where we go through in the process. I love waiting on the Lord, and God was building me up. And last July, God said he wanted to start moving on college campuses. I said, okay, God, you know, I have no connections. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that's going to happen. But you, if you do it, I'll follow. And so nothing had come to this point. I didn't hear anything else. I'm doing things at churches. I'm doing conferences for Christians. And then I come to Pullman, Washington, and I see the stadium and the Coliseum, and nothing before would I've ever had thought that I would even have the faith to point to a Coliseum and say, I wonder what it would cost. Why would I do that? I don't even have money. I don't know anybody. But God was preparing me. In Genesis 29, when we talk about our process, I want to talk about Genesis 29. You see, Jacob was looking for a wife. And his mom said, you know, go to the land where I'm from. Go in that area and find yourself a wife. So he goes to that area. And if you don't know the story, I suggest you read this chapter, okay? But I'm going to tell it in a paraphrase version. But I encourage you to read your Bible and read it for yourself. Make sure what I'm saying is true. But he goes to the land of his mother and he sees this fine young lady walk into the well. And he says, who is that? And they say, that's Rachel. And he says, whoo, I got to get to know her. So he goes over and he talks to her and he finds out that, you know, he's that this is his uncle's daughter, and you know, back then that was okay. And so anyway, he walks back to the house, and they're talking, and late. Now you know it's love because it says that he worked for Laban for a month for free. You know it's love when you're working for free. No, love makes you do crazy things. And Laban says, "Look, you're related to me. I can't not pay you anything. What do you want?" And Jacob says, "I want Rachel, your daughter." And Laban says, "Work for me for 7 years. I'll give you Rachel." Now, I don't know what happened that wedding night. I think that was not the perfect situation was happening, because it says in the morning when Jacob woke up, it says, "Behold, Leah." Behold, Leah actually says that. I love that God works within the confines of people's brokenness and things of that nature, because it's not a most beautiful story. A lot of people don't even like this story. But there's a truth in here I want to point out. See, a lot of us have Behold, Leah moments where we get these amazing prophetic words and we get all this stuff. And, you know, we're going to change the nations. God's going to use us. Going to expand our territory, our house, or whatever. And then we show up to church and they give you a toilet brush. Behold, Leah. No, I'm for the nations. Yeah, here's Leah. Don't tell me you haven't had Behold, Leah moments. Now, Jacob, in his own right, goes over to Laban and says, "What have you done to me? What have you done to me?" And what Laban did was wrong, and he should not have done it the way he did it. But if you look at from a father's perspective who loves his daughters, he tells him, "It would not have been right for you to marry the younger before the older. Love Leah. Give Leah the wedding week she deserves. I'll give you Rachel. Work for me for another 7 years." Yeah, shyster, of course. But love Leah. Love her. Give her what she deserves. She's my daughter too. Now this is the key. It says this. When in Genesis 29:31, I think you guys, you're so good up there. I see that. It says this. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. The Leah, which I would like to equate to as the process, deserves to be loved. Some of us want our promises to start bearing fruit, but we haven't learned to love our Leah yet. See, Leah gives Jacob 4 sons. There was other sons through handmaidens, but just Leah and Jacob, 4 sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And what do these names mean? To see, to hear, to be at one with, and to praise. See, when you love your Leah, you learn to see him, to hear him, to be at one with him, and to praise him. See, and when you learn to do that, when you love your Leah, your Rachel begins to be fruitful. And who does she give you? Joseph, who's the epitome of anointing, wisdom, influence, and power. Until you love your Leah, you cannot carry your, until you love your Leah and birth the offspring to hear him, to see him, to be at one with him, and to praise him, you will not be able to carry the anointing and the influence and the power that Joseph represents. I remember when I graduated from ministry school, I thought I was God's gift to the world. I was trained, I was ready, I'm ready to go. And then Dr. Randy Clark, who's a pretty well-known minister in some circles, he said, "I would like you to be my assistant. I want you to travel with me and he'll disciple me, mentor me." I'm like, "Oh, this is it. Now people will be able to hear what I have to say. Now people will be able to be, you know me. And I'll be able to do what God's always called me to do." And I show up to Global Awakening and they give me a box tape gun. They said, "Pack some books." I said, "What? I just went through 2 years of your school. I just graduated. I dedicated my life to the..." "Yeah, pack books. Make some phone calls. Do all the logistical work, all the behind the scenes work, working 40, 60 hours a week, nobody knowing who I am." And I realized that God put me in a situation that I had a decision to either tolerate or love. See, and I realized that if I just tolerated this process, it just showed that I had a character flaw that needed more process. So until I learned to love my process, and I packed it up, I learned to love those moments. I learned to birth these things, these characters. And see, I thought I was ready, and I wasn't ready. But it was through loving the process that when an opportunity comes to pour into an area and step in to allow God to move in a coliseum, that I was able to have enough faith and steward it properly. Don't despise your process. Learn to love your process. And the reality is, as much as Rachel is the promise of Jacob, the ultimate promise doesn't come through Rachel. The ultimate promise comes through Judah, who Leah gave. So sometimes the process that you're going through is really where the promise is going to come from. So I just want, this is such a new message for me. This is just being raw with you here. So I just want you to stand if there's a process that you've been present, like even for this area, I know that you've been going through a process. You've been loving your Leah. You've been pressing in for revival. I've heard the prayers of revival that have been going on and pressing in for 40 years. More probably even. And God had been building something in this community so that when revival hits, you guys would have the wisdom, anointing, influence, and power to carry the revival. So if you stand with me, can I pray for you guys corporately, and then I'll pass it over to Pastor Phil and invite the ministry team. I know a lot of you are going through personal processes. A lot of you have had promises spoken over your life, and you feel like you got the toilet brush. But I believe this. I believe God's putting you in a position to birth some awesome offspring in your life that's going to bring you so close to Him, you can carry the promise He's revealed in you. And so if you just want to join me in prayer, if you want to close your eyes, hold out your hands, you know, assume the position. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Father, I just thank You. I thank You for the Leahs in our life. I thank You for the process, God. That in Your mercy, in Your ultimate wisdom, You brought Leah in our lives so that we would love her, so that it would produce the offspring to see You better, to hear You better, to be at one with You, and to praise You, so that we would be able to be strong enough to carry the offspring of a Joseph when our promise comes. And so, Lord, I pray and I bless everybody here. Lord, I ask that You would forgive us if we've only tolerated our process. Father, that You would forgive us if we didn't love the Leah that You've placed in our life. Lord, we repent. We repent. And we say, we'll love her. We'll steward what You've given us with our utmost heart. So, Lord, we give our lives again to You. We give our process, our energy to You, Lord, so that we can carry the promise that's coming in this city, that's coming in our family. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to invite Pastor Phil. Thank you so much for letting me share my heart with you guys. Pastor.
Awesome. Wow. You can be seated. Well, you can see the spirit, why I fell in love with this guy. Fell in love with the spirit for God. Fell in love with the reality and the depth of his relationship with the Lord and his willingness to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times I have cursed my Leahs thinking they were something that was in the way. Why is this happening to me? Have you ever said that before? why is this happening to me? And don't realize that God has you in a process that He's getting ready to release great blessing. I think even the prophetic word, when we saw it as all this water and turmoil and all of that, and the word of knowledge, that God was getting ready to do something great. And as we embrace that, Leah, embrace that process, God does something inside here. You have to understand, I don't think His number one goal is to get us to do things. His number one goal is to change this. His number one goal is to change who we are at our core. If not, He would just be using you. He doesn't want to just use you. He wants to transform you. Because in that transformation, He makes a man or woman of God. He does something that's greater than the item or the issue that happens. He changes a life at our core and gives us desire and reason and understanding of how to live life each and every day and give Him the glory that's due His name. I want to do something. I really feel that we're supposed to pray for Paul and Bo. And Paul, if you wouldn't mind, and Bo, just come down here. We want to pray for you. If you wouldn't mind, if you want to come forward, you're welcome to come forward or reach out your hands or whatever you'd like to do. I'm glad I listened to my wife. Carrie said, "Hey, we need to have them speak today." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I was going to have them when the next time they came." He goes, "Nope, it's this time." And I go, "Yes, dear." I'm at two already, so that would have been three. And so I don't want to. I knew it was going to happen if I didn't. But I just can't get over the spirit of these two men and the privilege I feel to be connected to them. Father, we thank You for these two men. These two men of God. We thank You, Lord, for what they emulate. We thank You for what the processes both of them have embraced. And we thank You for them, Lord. I believe, man, you have embraced the steps that the Lord has brought to you. You have taken each and every one. And I say, son, I have many more steps for you to take. And I'm going to begin to open up things in your heart. And I'm going to use you as a mouthpiece. I'm going to use you as an influencer. I'm going to use you to change people's lives. You will hear of people and your heart will be burdened to move toward them. And the steps you take will be ordered by the Lord. For My hand is upon you for good, son, and I take great delight in your heart. You bring me joy. You bring me delight. And I truly have ordered your steps because I will use those steps for the kingdom of God, and transformation will take place. I love you, son. And you, man of God, My hand is upon you. And you don't even know the half of it. For when I see a man who has the heart of humility, who has the heart to obey, who has the heart to respond, I will do great things through you. I will touch you in amazing ways. You will be a man who will share My heart, not with arrogance. You will defend My name. And many defend it with strength and power and arrogance. You will defend My name with kindness and grace. You will be a living example of My name as you move in the power and grace of God, for I will use you as an example. My hand is upon you, and I will do great things through you. Let me continue to lead you and watch what I will do.
No one understands this, Paul. You do understand it. You're at the helm of a ship you didn't build. But I'm going to bring on all of the crew you need, and I'm going to show you how to trim it so that this thing really rocks. And indeed, as has been spoken, you will bring a message of an eternal truth in a way that hasn't been brought yet. And people that hear it are going to say, I think I could do that. I think I could pull that off. I think I could really give my life to that. In a way that doesn't happen when you're charged and pumped and pressed and let's take that hill, guys. It's going to be different. And the difference of it will cause it to be heard and to reconstitute it again and again and again after you leave whatever event you're at. Do understand this. The pieces were being put together a long time ago. And they've been moving. This has to move before that can move, it on and on and on. And you're where you need to be. And you're ready for this. And I will give you insight that comes as easy as breathing in and breathing out. You don't need to break your bones over this thing. It's going to come as easy as your breath has. And I will cause you to go places and say things you didn't really think were ready to be said yet. But you will know, because that's how you responded to me all the time. And this is your time. And this is the right place for you. Bo, over time I will send you to people who have an astonishing amount of chaos, who's never known a steady state in their life. And when you find out their story, it will almost bring you to your knees, buckle you. How did you ever live through this? Some of them pull it off really well, and you'd never guess it. And some of them, you can see it from around the corner. But I'm going to give you an entrance to people who've never heard your name and never heard that there was anything in you besides a tall, good-looking, athletic young man. And because of how I've made you and the family I placed you in, I'm going to give you simple answers to very complicated questions. Answers that are easy to grasp, easy to understand, easy to see the wisdom of, and easy to adopt in a world of manifest chaos, frightening, trembling chaos, and people making life-altering decisions in real time at a moment's notice, where on one side is chaos and death, and the other side, at least it doesn't look like chaos and death. I'm going to send them to you, and they're going to see you not only because you're tall and hard to not see, but because they're going to see I've never met this guy, but I just have to meet this guy. And I'm going to team you up with people that you didn't think you were ready to be teamed up with yet. But this will happen because indeed this is your time too. This is the time for things that have been moving in concert to come together in harmony and magnificent glory. And magnificent simplicity.
Bless you guys. Let's give him a hand, shall we? All right. Well, we're going to have a ministry team that will be over here to my right. If the Lord spoke something to you about the message, and it was a powerful message, then please don't let it drop, because it's a word for right now. And it's a word to change your life. We'll have some people over here who will be happy to pray with you and seal in that word when we're done. If you don't know the Lord, please, today would be a great day to find Him. It would be an amazing day. They will be up here as well to pray with you that you might receive Christ. God is an amazing God, and He loves you so much. But not only that, He has great things in store for you. And some of those great things look like Leah. Let me tell you, embrace them. Love the discipline. Love what God's doing inside of you. And watch the amazing results. He's working with you. He's never left you. It's ordained of the Lord. Embrace it. Move forward. And enjoy His presence. Love you guys. God bless you. You are dismissed.